Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 23. While you're finding your place, let me say a couple things this morning. When you are not in your place, it affects others. When you don't pull your load, other people are affected. When you, there's no reason for that. Listen, it wouldn't matter if we had 5,000 in church. You probably wouldn't be missed. But when you only got 50 or 60, it matters when you're not pulling your weight. Amen? Amen? And when you're not doing your part, there's a gap there, and somebody else suffers for it.
Amen?
Amen? Are you with me? I'm trying to help you this morning. You need, listen, what if I just decide I don't think I'm going to preach this morning? What if I just decided, well, let's just pray and go to the house? Some of you would be all right with that for the first Sunday. What if I did it 3 times a month? Hello? You expect me to do my part. Amen? Why don't God have a right to expect you to do your part? I can't stand folks that start something and do it for 2 or 3 times and quit with it. Why don't you get in or get out? Amen? It'll help everybody. I think we ought to be what we're going to be. I tell you what, we're living in a day. We're fixing to find out what you're made of. Amen. Real quick, we're going to find out. While you're finding your place, let me say, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm trying to be led to the Lord right now in my heart, I promise you. And if we're either going to be for God or not. Amen. Let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. Be what you're going to be. And if you're going to be it, be all you can be in it. Amen. Give God your best. He deserves it. Well, I'm having a bad day. Well, I am too. I don't feel like preaching this morning. I feel like going and laying down somewhere. But I have a responsibility and an obligation to stand and preach. Amen. You ought to feel the same way about what you're doing for God. You say, well, nobody's going to miss me. Well, they did. And they are, and they will. That didn't cost you a dime. I just thought I'd throw it out there. Amen? Why don't you just do your part? If you started out singing for God, sing till Jesus comes. No sense in choir getting up here half-staffed. That's out of hell. God ain't in it. Be what you're going to be. Hello? All right, while you're finding your place, Matthew 23, you come back tonight, God don't change your heart. I'm going to preach on probably the most controversial subject in America. Amen? So you pray about it, you help me to pray about it, come back tonight. You say, what's the subject? The subject is interracial marriage. Going to deal with that tonight. Going to find out what the Bible says about it. Amen? Going to see what God has to say and how God feels about it. So you come back tonight and let God show you the truth. Now, don't get any preconceived ideas in your mind which way the preacher's going to go. Amen? Just come and hear what God has to say about it. And if God leads that way, that's the way we're going to go tonight. Amen? And look with me, please, at Matthew chapter 23. And I want to read just a verse or two here. And we know this is a time when the Lord is fixing to go and be crucified, and his heart is heavy for a people that he loves that don't love him. That's a hard thing, buddy, to love somebody when you know they don't love you back. Amen. It's hard. It's hard to put up with folks like that, but that's what he dealt with all of his life on this earth. He dealt and loved people and had compassion for people and cared about people that did not care about him. That's hard to deal with. It's hard to put up with some of you knowing you don't like me. Amen? It's hard to love some of you sometimes knowing you don't love me. Amen? I'm just trying to help you. Look with me, please. I'm in the subject. I'm going to deal with that just for a minute. Look in Matthew 23, please, and look at verse number 37. Matthew 23, verse number 37. Jesus Christ is speaking here. people, you know, you have to be careful when your Bible has red letters in it. Amen? You say, well, that makes it special because that's God speaking. Listen, from Genesis to Revelation, it's God speaking. Hello? So don't get any ideas that just because it's red, it's from the Lord. It's all from the Lord. He is the Word of God. And it's not special just because it's in red. You got to be careful with that. However, what He's saying to us, because it is in red, is that Jesus Christ, while on this earth in a physical body, is speaking these words. Now let's read verse 37. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. There's something significant any time God says something twice. Amen. Jacob, Jacob. Abraham, Abraham. Have you ever done that? You ever called somebody and you wanted to get their attention? Timmy, Timmy. I know your mom's done that a bunch. Amen. And God says, earth, earth. Amen. And so you need to set up and take note and listen when God does that. He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Look at what He says. Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. And I want you to take your pen or your highlighter and underscore the next four little words. And ye would not. And I want to preach to you this morning on some people that God cannot help. Some people that you cannot help. Do you realize we're living in a world that needs help today? We're living in a world that's falling apart at the seams. We're living in America. Listen, America has seen her better days. America is just about through. America has, everything is falling apart. She's kicked God out of every place, out of the courthouse, the schoolhouse. America is at just before seeing the judgment acts of God falling upon her. America's in trouble. America's in a mess. And people today need help. Amen. People are in trouble. People are hurting physically. They're hurting mentally. They're hurting emotionally. And most of all, they're hurting spiritually. And people are in trouble. And people need help. And people are apostatizing on God. People are leaving and going after the world. And they're in trouble. And they need help. And we're in a mess. Our country's in a mess. Our homes are in a mess. Are you listening to me? Everywhere you look, it's another divorce. Everywhere you look, it's another fight or another counseling. Every time you turn around, it's something else falling apart. I can kind of understand with the world, but I don't understand that with Christians. I don't understand Christian divorce. I don't understand that. God don't make provisions for it. It's not allowed. It's not, hey, that's not God's will. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, people need help. Everybody, everybody under the sound of my voice needs some kind of help. Everybody's having problems. Everybody's got burdens. Everybody's got troubles or despair. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look. And Jesus said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I'd have took you in. I'd have helped your children. I'd have took them like a mother hen takes her little chicks under her wings. And you would not. God said, I'd have done for you. I'd have helped you. That's what he's telling them there. Hey, Jerusalem, I had the help that you need. I'd have helped you. Would you agree with me this morning, Brother Kevin, that people need help? Would you agree with me that spiritually this world needs help? Would you agree with me that spiritually America is in a mess? We are in trouble with God. We are fixing to see the judgment of God. I'm telling you people, we need help. Amen. But there are some people you just can't help. Did you know that? I may not. I've got about 10 or 12 that I want to show you, but we'll not get half of them done today. And maybe next week or another time we'll finish it. But there are some people you just can't help. You're going to need to know this. Amen. There's some folks you just cannot fix. There's some folks you just can't. You, no matter what you do, no matter how much you try, no matter how much you love them, you just can't help them. Amen. You might as well get ready for it. Let me just give you a few of them, all right? There's some folks you just can't. People, you agree with me? People need help. Amen. Some people need mental help. About 3/4 of us probably need mental help. I was talking to the doctor here. It's been maybe a year ago or less. I was talking to the doctor, and she said 80% of this county and surrounding area, 80% are taking some kind of pill for help, for mental or emotional or some chemical imbalance. I'm telling you, I've never in my life seen like it is today, man. Somebody needs help. Everybody needs help. Whether it's physical or some people need moral help. Some people are morally depraved beyond measure. And they need help. You say, what kind of help? Some people need to be put to death. Amen. Some people, the only way you can help them is electrocute them. Some people, the only thing you can do for them is put poison in their body and send them out to meet God. They've had their chance and they blew it. People need help. People are mental and immoral. People need help. The psalmist said in Psalms chapter 12, I believe it was, David said, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. You say, what did he say, preacher? Help, Lord. Isn't that a quick enough prayer? That's the kind of prayer to get done. Right? Amen. Sometimes you just need to pray, help, God. And some people, you know what? I don't believe only this. I believe people need help. But here, can I help you? I believe you ought to help people. Amen. I believe if you're a born again child of God, I believe it ought to be in your heart to help people. I believe you ought to want to. I believe it ought to be your desire to help people. Paul's desire was that Israel might be saved. That was his desire. Do you have a desire this morning? If you do, it ought to be right up there somewhere along helping people. Amen. I hate to see people suffer. It bothers me to see people grieve. I can't stand to see people hurt. It bothers my soul to see people in trouble. I don't want to see that. And every chance I can, and every opportunity, and every time God reveals something, I want to try to be a help to people. Amen. If you got a saved bone in your body, you ought to want to help somebody. Amen. It ought to be your desire to help people. But do you know there are some people you can't help? Can I just give you about half my list today? Let me just give you a few of them. Listen, let me just give you maybe 4 or 5 this morning. You cannot help someone who does not like you. Did you hear what I said? You can't help someone. Maybe it's the way you look.
Maybe it's because they're jealous because you got friends with somebody that they know and don't like. Who knows? Maybe it's just pride, or maybe it's just something that you said. A lot of times, people, you'd be surprised and amazed how many people in the country, don't like me because of something I said. People, don't listen to me. If a person does not like you, write it off, mark it down, get away from them. You cannot help them. Amen. You can't help somebody that don't like you. Now, sometimes they get upset with you, and it's temporary. And sometimes they get over it. But I'm talking about a genuine hatred. A genuine dislike. If you've got somebody in your life and they do not like you, you can forget about it. You will not help them. It ain't going to happen. Hello, I'm trying to help you. Am I helping you yet? Is it because you don't like me? Amen. Maybe it's just something you said. Maybe it's the way you look. But listen, if they don't like you, are you listening? You're not going to help them. You cannot help people that do not like. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, please. Proverbs chapter 23. Let me read you a couple scriptures. In Proverbs 23... Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words." So what's he saying, preacher? He don't like you. Don't want to hear what you have to say. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 10. What do you do when people don't like you? Don't get discouraged. Hey, Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Let me just read you some scriptures here. Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse number 14. Matthew 10, 14. He's speaking to his disciples. He says, "And whosoever shall not receive you." You see, they don't like them. "Nor hear your words," watch this, "when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." I had a preacher come to me one time, and he said the church was against him. Everything he said, they bucked it. Everything he said, they fought against. A couple deacons got folks stirred up in the church. They began hating this man of God. They began talking about him. Hey, listen, can I say something? I'm going to give you something that's profound and help you. Amen. If people talk about you, they probably will not talk to you. Unless it's a lie. Hello? If they talk about you, they probably won't talk to you unless they're telling you a lie or being deceitful. Hello? I'm trying to help you, amen. He said to me, preacher, he said, "I've done everything I know to do, and they buck everything I say. I have no pastoral authority." I said, "Brother, you stand up tomorrow night in your church, and you resign from that place, and you go outside the doors of that church, and close those doors, and take your boots off." I said, "If you're a preacher, you got boots on."
Yeah, amen.
If you ain't got boots on, that's the whole problem. "And take your boots off and dust them off against the doors of that church and turn your back on them and walk away."
Amen, brother.
He said, "I don't know if I can do that." I said, "You might as well. They don't like you." And if a person don't like you, you can't help them. Have I hurt anybody? Is everybody okay? Is it all right? We okay? You need a baby aspirin? If you can't help somebody that don't like you. Amen. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Let me finish this one. Matthew chapter 13. Look at what he says here in Matthew 13. Look at verse number 57. Matthew 13, 57. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. You see, folks, I'm telling you this morning, there's some people you just can't help. Do you know why every person that's ever debarked from this church, that's ever walked out on me or walked out on God, do you know why they've done it? Because they could not get help. Now, why couldn't they get help? Why couldn't you help them, preacher? Well, I'm just, number one, it's possible they just didn't like me. Just like somebody told me the other week, they met somebody in a store that was here the first week I started pastoring. I don't think they were here anymore after that, just the first week. And been over 10 years ago, and the first thing they did was start running me down. 10 years. You know what? I bet you I haven't passed 25 words with that person. But they decided, they made up their mind, they purposed in their heart, I ain't going to like him. And when you do that, listen, can I help you? How many of you like to help people? I mean, if you don't, you ought to. But you know there's some people you just can't help. You can try and try as you may. But if they don't like you, you might as well mark it off. Hello? Amen? Now, there's some people you can't help. Number one, you can't help someone who doesn't like you. Amen? Number two, let me give you this one. You can't help someone who does not know they need help. Amen? Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, quickly. You can't help somebody that don't know they need help. Amen? In other words, they don't believe there's nothing wrong. Amen? They don't recognize that they're a sinner. They don't believe they've done anything. They don't accept the fact that there's anything wrong with their life. Hello? They cannot see. You cannot help a person, are you listening, who have no morals. You cannot help a person that has no integrity. You can't do it. Forget about it. It won't work. Amen? You can't help a person that sees no wrong in their life. They see no sin in their life. Look at Proverbs 14. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen? Listen, if they don't see anything wrong with their life, you can't help them. Are you listening to me? They might be blind. Maybe sin has blinded them. Can I tell you something? Are you listening? If God convicts your heart about sin in your life, if He deals with you about something particular in your life, and you do not get it fixed, your heart will become hard concerning that sin. And then eventually, you'll become seared. And you can't help somebody like that. You know what? Can I give you a good example? Back, I'm not going to tell you who it is. You'll know him. Back some time ago, I was at a church. And while we were there, a sodomite came in. And this young lady, she her sister is a born-again child of God and goes to church there. And they got her to come to that service. And after the service, she sat down with the preacher. For about 2 hours, they sat there. And for about 2 hours, he did everything he could to convince her with the scriptures that the lifestyle she was living was immoral, it was insane, it was absolutely wicked to the uttermost, it was an abomination to God, it did not even make common sense, and he did everything he could, and conviction was so strong in that place. I just knew she's going to fall on her face on this floor any second now and get right. Because sodomy is not genetic. It's a decision of the heart. Are you listening? And you know what she did? She got up from there. I seen in her face when the lights went out. I watched Brother Tim when God cut the lights out in her eyes. And right now, you can't even talk to her about it. She hates it. She hates anybody that's against it. She hates anybody that would try to help. Listen, you can't help her. Are you listening to me? Right now, right this minute, if you go up and ask her, she'll tell you she don't have a problem. Now, you know what? You cannot help somebody that don't have a problem. Are you listening to me? I'm reminded of this story one time. This fella, he was asleep. He's an old bum. And he was asleep in the alley. And he's the guy in town. All the young kids in town like to make fun of him and play tricks on him. And so while he was asleep one afternoon, several of the young kids in town went up to him while he was sleeping, and they smeared in his mustache. They smeared Lindberger cheese. Is that what it is? Lindberger cheese. It's awful, ungodly odor. Just a stinking smell. Me and my wife, when we were, that's not proper English. My wife would shoot me if she heard that. My wife and I were up in Indiana, and I was holding a tent meeting, and we were sitting right beside a cheese factory. And I'm telling you, folks, I'd rather have a house built and live beside a sewage plant. But anyway, what is it? Lindberger cheese. Take my word for it. It stinks. Stank and stunk. Amen. And this bum, he wakes up. And the first thing he says to himself is, boy, this alley don't smell like it usually does. This place stinks. I think I'll go find me a better place. And he went down the street to a nicer looking alley. And he went in there and he sat down on a crate and he said, you know what? This place stinks just like the other place. And he did that 3 or 4 times. Finally, he went out and he walked out in the field outside of town. And he seen a flower. And he reached over and he picked that flower and he smelled that flower. And he said, the whole world stinks. He made up his mind, the whole world stinks. But you know what the problem was? He was the stinker. Yeah. Folks, listen to me. It is possible to get to the place in your life where you become so full of stink that in your mind, in your attitude, the whole world stinks. Everybody stinks around you. Your family stinks. Your church stinks. Your friends stink. And you are the one that's stinking. Amen. But you know what? You can't help them. Because they think it's not me. It's everybody else. Are you listening to me? Folks, I'm telling you, there's some people you can't help this morning. Amen? You can't help a person that don't feel like, don't believe they need help. Amen? You know what? Most of the time, when a person like that, I have them come to my office for counseling. But you know what? They don't want counseling. All they're wanting to do, Brother George, is reveal to me their plan. All they come in there for is to tell me their side of the story. They're not interested in getting help. Do you know 75% of the people that's come in my office to get counseling from God have 75% have gotten bitter with me because of what I told them, even when they didn't take the advice. If I give you godly advice and you don't take it, it'll cause bitterness in your heart. You know what you'll do? You'll get mad at me. Then I can't help you. You can't help somebody who don't believe there's anything wrong. Amen? You wouldn't believe people comes in there and sits down. Husbands come in there and sit down and tell me what's wrong with their wife. You got any idea how many wives come in there and sit down and tell me what's wrong with their husband? But you know, 100 times out of 100 times, not one time did they come in there and say, "Preacher, I'm the problem."
Yeah, amen, brother.
Maybe later on, in order to say what they thought I wanted to hear, they had confessed to it.
Yeah.
But just to come in there and say, "Preacher, I'm the mess, I need help," people don't do it. You cannot help somebody that don't realize there's a problem. Are you listening to me? Are you with me? Anybody? Everybody all right? Amen? Can I give you another one? Amen? You cannot help someone who will not do what they're told. Amen? You forget it. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22, "Be ye doers." Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen? I mean, listen, it is man's nature. Are you listening to me? It is the nature of every human being to rebel against authority. You hear what I'm telling you? It is in you. It is your nature. It is your fortitude. You're made up of something that wants to rebel. You are made up of, it is natural for you to go against the grain, to go against authority. It is in your makeup to hate authority. Amen. And you can't help somebody like that. You cannot help somebody that will not listen and do what they're told.
Amen.
I'll give you some examples. God told Adam, remember?
Right.
God told Adam, "Don't you touch that tree. I'll help you, Adam, as long as you stay away from that tree." And what did he do? He went over and ate of the fruit. Amen?
Yeah,
you can't help somebody like that. Adam got us in this mess.
Yeah.
Amen? And because of his rebellious spirit, every one of us is born like Adam.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? And only Jesus Christ can change that spirit.
Amen.
And Adam's born like, God went to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God told Abraham, he said, "Come out from thy kindred."
Yeah.
First thing he did was find his nephew Lot. Amen? Listen, Abraham did not completely obey God. Anything less than perfect obedience is disobedience. Are you listening to me, son? If mama tells you to do something and you don't do it right then, right away, as soon as they say it, it's disobedience. if daddy tells you something to get up and do something and you don't do it right away, if you question it, if you even say why, that's disobedience. Anything less than obedience, perfect obedience, is disobedience. It's rebellion. Amen? I'm trying to help you. God told Abraham, get up and get you, leave your kin people and come and follow me. Amen? And he went and found Lot. And you know what? Because of that, it caused him trouble the rest of his days. Are you listening? Because of that, maybe it even caused the death of some of his kin folks. Are you listening to me? You cannot help somebody who will not do what they're told. God, Israel, cried for a king. God gave him a king named Saul. And God gave him some orders. God told King Saul, he said, you go down there to the Amalekites. Wasn't it the Amalekites? And he said, you kill them all. You kill the lambs, the rams, the goats. You kill the bulls and the camels. You kill the ostrich and the monkey. Everything down there, you make sure they're dead. Including the king. And he spared the choicest sheep and the choicest heifers. And he spared the king. And you know what? You can't help somebody like that. You know what? You ever do this, children? Mama tells you to go in there and take your clothes and put them in the laundry. And you take them and throw them in the bathroom. Or they'll tell you to take out the trash and put it in the can out back. And you take it and set it on the porch. That's not obedience. Are you hearing me? That's disobedience. That's rebellion. I'm telling you, can I help you? You can't help somebody like that. Listen, folks. There's some people you can't help, Sister Barbara. You just can't. You can't help them. They're not going to listen. Amen? I'm trying to hurry, but I want you to get this. Don't go to sleep on me, folks. You need to hear this. Can I help you? Amen? Number four. You cannot help someone who is bitter. Are you listening to me? I'm not turning there for sake of time. But you know the story of the prodigal son? You remember how he came back and daddy throwed him a party and got him a ring and a robe and had a big shindig for him. And his brother was outside and he wouldn't come in. And bitterness welled up in his heart. And he wouldn't have nothing to do with the party. Didn't want to see his brother. You say, why, preacher? Cause of bitterness. Can I help you now? You listening? You cannot help someone who's bitter. The most overpopulated prison in America is the prison of bitterness.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You get bitterness inside of you so harsh and so bad, you can't be helped. Nobody can help you. You can't get it fixed. Hey, listen, I heard a story one time. I remember here, and I don't know if y'all remember, this was on the news some years ago. It was a woman out there in Texas, and her daughter was a cheerleader, good cheerleader. And she was so bitter at these other cheerleaders because she thought her daughter wasn't going to make the squad because of this other cheerleader. And bitterness set up in her heart, and she actually went and hired a hitman to go and to murder that other girl's mother, thinking that if she died, then they would bring so much attention to that, and the family would be under such distress that girl would back out of cheerleading. Now I'm telling you something, folks. That is bitterness. When you get that kind of bitterness in your heart, there's no end to what you might do. There's no end to where it'll lead. There's nothing coming in your life but destruction. You cannot be helped. You cannot fix it. You cannot help somebody that's full of bitterness. Amen. I'm telling you, there's no help for them. Amen. I mean, it may be the bitterness of being rejected. Maybe you've just been pushed aside, or maybe they left you out, or somebody didn't include you in their list or their party, or maybe you was left behind. Whatever it is, you cannot. I remember when I was just a young feller, and I was wanting to play on a baseball team. And I was a pretty good ball player, but I was trying out for a team, and I was too young for it. And I just was a year under where I was supposed to be to play. But I could play good as a lot of them boys, but I didn't make the team. I just knew I was the better than several of them. And yet, the guy wouldn't let me play. I don't know if it's because of my age or if he found out. He didn't tell me what the reason. He just said, come back another time. You just can't do it this time. But I got so bitter. And it made me so angry inside. Let me tell you something. You cannot help anybody that's full of bitterness. And when you get so bitter, can I help you? You are only devastating yourself. You know there's people in here that's bitter and mad at others in their life because of something they've done to you. You know that maybe they didn't treat you right, or maybe something didn't go right, and you can't get over it. You can't let it go. You know something? Some of you are being haunted by bitterness, and the person you're bitter at is already dead and in the ground.
Yeah, amen, brother.
And you know what? You're not hurting them. You're not hurting the person you're bitter at. It's destroying you. Bitterness, folks, the most populated prison in America is the prison of bitterness.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
It'll take you in. Hey, it'll destroy you. It'll take away your life and your joy.
Yes.
And you know what? It's not worth it. Why don't you just, you know what? It'd be real easy to get bitter at your parents. You know, I could even understand as a pastor how you could get bitter at dad or mom. But you can't. You got to let it go. You got to forgive them. It'll eat you alive. Bitterness will haunt you. Bitterness will destroy you. Are you listening to me? I'm using you as an illustration. It's everybody, honey. Bitterness, son. You don't have a right to be bitter. You have no right to be bitter. You know why? Because when you get to be married and you get grown, you're going to make some stupid mistakes. And you better hope when it happens, somebody's there to forgive you. Are you listening to me? We could all, every one of us has got a story to tell. Every one of us has got something we can fall on. Something that we could say justify having bitterness in our life. You could be mad at God. You could have bitterness toward God. You realize that? You could get bitter at God because you did everything you thought God wanted you to do, and your youngins didn't turn out the way you supposed thought they were. Are you listening? And you know what that bitterness is going to do? Eat you alive. It's going to destroy you. Can I tell you something? As a pastor, I know for 100% fact you can't help them. If God don't fix it, if they don't open their eyes, if they don't let it go, you can't help them.
Yeah.
Folks, are you with me this morning?
Yeah, sir.
I'm telling you, there's some people under God you just cannot help.
Yeah. Amen.
You can't help someone who is bitter. Let me give you one more and we'll quit.
Go ahead, brother. Amen.
I'll give you, we'll do this again another time.
Amen.
I got some more that God's given me, but I want you to have these right now. Amen. That you cannot help someone who thinks he knows more than you do. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 26.
Proverbs chapter 26, please. Proverbs chapter 26, look at verse number 12. Seest thou a man wise, watch this, in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Amen? You say, where did it come from? Proverbs chapter 16, while you're there. You could quote it probably, but let's read it. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. While you're there, look at Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. Let me just help you for a minute. Proverbs, we're about done.
Amen.
Your roast ain't going to burn. Look at 29. Proverbs 29, look at verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low,
yep,
but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit.
Amen.
You can't help a person that thinks they know more than you do. That's pride. Are you listening?
Amen.
You can't help someone that's full of pride. You know what that is? It's selfishness.
Amen.
They're self-centered. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, please. 2 Peter, hurry. Let me give you these scriptures. God can say it a lot better than I can. 2 Peter. And let's see here where I'm at. 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse number 10. Bible says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Amen. You can't help a person. Look back at Titus. Hurry. Last one. Titus, just a few books back. Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1. Look at verse number 7. For the bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not what?
Self-willed.
Amen. Not soon angry. Not given to wine. No striker. Not given to filthy lucre. I mean, listen, you cannot help somebody that thinks that they know more than you do. They're just full of their self. You can't, you know what? I had a feller, it's a bunch of times, but this sticks out. God wants me to bring this one out. An illustration. I had a fella come in here one time, and you ever met somebody like that? You'll tell them something, you'll start a subject, and they already know more about it than you do.
Yeah,
and you know what? I never got to tell him anything. Every time I'd start a subject, he'd interrupt. You ever met anybody like that? They just interrupt you, and they know more about it. They've been there more. They've done it longer. They've been there quicker, faster, more. You ever seen anybody like that? And you just can't help them. You can't do nothing for them. And no matter what the subject I brought up, he's already been there and done that. No matter what I mention, he's already experienced it. He knows all about it in life. You can't help somebody like that. Full of themselves. Full of self. You know why that's why the devil got kicked out of heaven? Because he thought he knew more about it than God did. Are you listening? Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You know... There's going to come a point in your life when you're going to come in here, you're going to let the devil talk to you, and you're going to come in here and you're going to think you know more than the preacher does. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to help you now. Are you listening? You're going to come in here and he's going to stand up in that pulpit and preach to you things from God. And all you can see is they're coming from a man. And you're going to think you know more than he does.
Yeah.
And you know what you're going to do? You're going to go outside and you're going to sow discord in the church. And you're going to start saying, well, I just ain't getting fed no more. You ever heard anybody say that? He just don't do nothing for me. You know why? You've arrived. And you already learned it all. And nobody can show you anything in the Bible. I believe it was Dr. Ruckman said the first 30 times he read through the Bible, he learned about 15 new things every time he read through it. He said he thought that was crazy. That book, he said he nailed the book. He started to nail it to his mantle board because he was scared somebody was coming in there at night and changing it while he was sleeping.
Yeah, amen. Yes.
But you know, there's some people that think they know more than God does. You actually got the audacity to sit there and think you're in control of your destiny. You got a lot of nerve to sit there and think that you can decide which church you are to be in and which Bible you are to be reading. You ain't got enough sense to get out of a shower of rain. You're not. Are you listening? When we get to that place in our life, Brother George, where we think that we're smarter than the pulpit. Are you listening?
Amen.
Bobby, I'm helping you. You can't be helped then, son.
Yeah.
There ain't no help for you, Brother Tony.
Yeah.
You know why? I'm going to say this and let me close. Are you listening? Do you know that's why Jesus can't help folks today? Because you think you know more about religion than He does?
Yeah, amen.
You think you're smarter than God is? You think you're in control of this thing? And you're fixing to die and go to hell. But you're going to be right.
Oh, yeah.
And some people, it's more important for you to be right than it is to learn something.
Yeah.
You know what that's called? Pride. Can I ask you a question in closing? Can you be helped this morning? Do you want God to help you? Would you like to continue getting help from this pulpit till Jesus comes? Now you listen to me, folks. If God tells me, I'm going to be right here till Jesus comes, unless He tells me different. This is where God's planted me. But if you're not careful, you're going to think, boy, I've got a handle on this. And God's going to allow it. And before you know it, you're going to be down the road somewhere, worshiping and listening to some heretic. Now you just keep taking the things of God for granted. Are you listening to me? I don't think it's too much to ask some of you to find your slot in this church and fill it. Is it too much trouble to ask you to do your part? Are we asking too much of you just to ask you to carry your weight? You see, folks, it makes a difference because we don't have many. If we had 1,000, I wouldn't even bother you about it. But would you just please step up and do your part?
Amen.
Because everything you do affects somebody around you.
Sure. Amen.
Are you listening to me? Can you be helped this morning? Would you allow this ministry of this church to continue helping your family and your life? Would you act like it matters once in a while? God wants to help you. God wants to help your family. Some of you got loved ones, and they're not in this church, and they're not going to be here until we get to where we need to be. And then they may not come. But at least we need to do our part. Why should people come? Why should your kin folks come and worship here when it, you act like it don't matter to you if you're here or not? Are you listening? Folks, we better get serious about this thing of worship. We better get serious about our faith and our church. Let's stand. Brother, I want you to play something up there.